You are listening to station WGN.
It's a radio. Turn it off.
From the WGN tower.
Remember, you're all a big part of the show. We're on in 10 seconds, so get ready to have a good time. All right, here we go. This is exciting, isn't it?
He's down on the phone.
In 5, 4, 3, 2.
Now let us imagine that you're in the middle of your program.
You must identify your station.
You might say
WGN.
.FM. Right here. Here.
Good afternoon, Estonia and Effingham.
Don't you get depressed when the F word has to be in every single sentence?
Writing that down, are you?
Oh, fuck, sorry.
Breaking news. Olive Garden is selling 1,000 pasta passes, which for $100 gives the holder the right to consume all of the pasta, salad, bread, and Coca-Cola branded soft drinks that they can stuff down for 7 weeks.
What a delicious bunch of flavors.
I don't know about you, but after they bring the bread out, I'm usually full already before I even order.
Boy, are you fat.
Nothing like pasta and Coke for 7 weeks to make you feel good.
And it makes the most beautiful gazpacho shooter.
And they line up for the iPhone 6. A developing story. A Maryland man stabbed a co-worker in the arm after he stole a meatball from his lunch. Jesus, chill. How about a $100 Olive Garden card, stuff your pie hole, and skip the violence?
I love this guy. Always coming up with these great lines. I love him.
Midway Airport is adding a yoga room.
Oh, God.
Not necessary. Most of us are doing downward dog just to get into our airplane seat.
Eagle 3842, Chicago Approach, shut up.
I'm Gary Meyer. Welcome, iPhone 6 owners.
Hello.
Those stories and more on 240 Minutes on the Super G Streamliner, WGN.FM Chicago. Stand back. I'm going to trend all over the place. Live and kicking. Is that the group or the song title? I forget. Live and kicking.
It's Tighter and Tighter.
Live and kicking is the group. Tighter and Tighter is the song, yeah. Tom Skilling will be in at 6 to talk about what appears to be one hell of a weather day tomorrow. He'll break it all down. Right now, he's sorting photos of bugs having sex that he'll feature on one of his many weather forecasts now. 4, 5, 9, noon.
I didn't see the dance number. I wonder. I hope it worked yesterday.
Well,
it all went well.
He was kind of reluctant to say how it went, even though they rehearsed for 2 weeks.
I'm sure there was a lot of spandex and
sure
glitter.
And confetti. a confetti shooter.
Jazz hands.
They keep alluding to the fact that tomorrow there might be an isolated tornado. I don't know what the hell's coming.
He scared the heck out of me at noon. I was watching his
Zoom. He's already dialed it up.
He's like, at midnight, there was this circle around the Chicago and Midwest area, and we were right in the middle of the darkest color. He had like four different colors going, and ours looked the scariest.
Purple, pink.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah, he said after midnight, he's going to let it all hang out. It sounds like 2 or 3
all right,
inches.
Well, he'll, like I said, be here around 6 to tell us what possibly could happen. 312-521-8600. I opened with that story. By the way, the iPhone 6, Cubs nothing. Dan Fedor will be here at 4 o'clock to break down what this new gadget is. And I'm sure it's loaded with stuff that you didn't have on your iPhone 5. How much is this thing? It's about $600-$700.
That's what they usually are, yeah. I mean, you can get them cheaper, and then as you get these plans, they sort of give you
discounts. Then I saw this deal. There's some phone called the Fire.
Yeah, that's the one by Amazon.
99 cents.
That's the Amazon.
Formerly $299.
Yeah.
99 cents.
Well, they're trying to undercut and get into the...
Which reminds me, I saw this commercial for Beezid.
Yeah.
Beezid? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
You can get stuff on discount?
Yeah. It's a bidding
thing. It's a bidding thing.
Yeah.
So you bid against somebody.
Or they have X amount and you just keep...
Okay. Because some of the items they said 99% off.
Yeah, for a television.
You could get a... This is not an exaggeration. You get a television, a flat screen television, for $1.50. And that's what I saw on the screen. And I thought, what the heck is this service? Bizid, right?
Bizid.
Bizid?
Like, I think it's like bid... But then, like, you know, there's like a slang, like, I'm going to be zid on something.
Okay, how do they do this? Have you participated?
No,
let me know. 312-521-8600.
It might be one of like one of those overstock.coms where they get a lot
I'm always leery to thinking, how can they sell me a decent TV for $1.50?
And they seem like they're name brands. It's not like it's Joe's Television.
Yeah, I mean, 70% off, 75% off, and then it gets down to 99% off. I'm thinking, who can make any money on this stuff? Where is it from? Did it fall off a truck? How does this work?
How could you sell it if it
well,
did?
Well, somebody's going to win a bet. Guess who?
Oh, no.
Hey, everybody. It's Matt, the trivia guy. some trivia for you. You want to get some?
Yeah, what do you got, Matt?
Did you know that Adolf Hitler invented the sex doll? He really did. World War I.
I did not know that.
You can look it up. Hey, Bobble, Bibble, do you know Elton John's real name?
Okay. Yes, it's Reginald Dwight.
Kenneth.
Yes, it is. Very good. Ding, ding, ding.
March 25th, 1947.
Okay,
very
Rain
good.
Man. So, Matt, everything good with you today? Good to hear from you out of the chute.
It's going well. I'm just reading things, getting new information for you.
Good.
Matt, do you know who the lead singer was of the band First Class from the 1970s with their hit Beach Boy, Beach Baby?
Absolutely. It was Joan Jett.
Very good. All right, we have a Matt the Trivia Guy impersonator.
Wow. That's
good.
No,
to
you don't. It's the real deal.
All right, it's Matt the Trivia Guy. I apologize. Sorry.
How dare you?
All right, I know you call back in about a half hour, so I don't want to use up
all
your...
Oh, you can count on it. I'll call 6 or 7 times a day. Hey!
All right, Matt, thank you. Dave Novotny. I don't know if this is him or an impersonator.
No, Gary, I'm calling you too much, but I did get on that Visa and I did try that. Just so you know, for every penny, it's 60 cents.
What's that? For every penny, what do you mean?
Yeah, every penny is 60 cents. That's what it cost me. So if I go on there and bid, I'll give you an example. I was on there bidding for a surveillance system for my shop. And I bought a bid package, but every penny that you bid is 60 cents.
Okay, use that in a sentence.
So how much did you bid and how much did it cost?
You bid on a surveillance thing,
and what did it
cost?
And
what happened?
I was bidding against other people. The bids actually got up to, I don't know, probably $60. So you times that $60 for every penny, it's 60 cents. So do the math.
I'm trying to do what for every penny that you.
So how many pennies are in 60?
There's 100 pennies in a dollar. So 100 times 60 is what?
6,000.
No.
Or 600.
100 times.
No, 100 times 60 is 6,000.
2, 3. 6,000.
6,000 is 3
zeros. 6,000 pennies.
6,000 pennies.
All right. 6,000 divided by 100. That's $60.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
All right.
So you're laughing at
it. I don't.
So what's happening is they're telling you that, okay, yeah, you won that piece for $30, but there were people bidding against you, and for every penny that was bid to that $30, you were actually paying 60 cents. So when you buy a big package, let's say I buy 100 bids, each one of those bids is 60 cents. Each one of those bids represents one penny.
All right. I knew this was too good to be true. I knew I couldn't get a decent television for $1.50.
No, because here, Gary, what they're doing is that, sure, if you got in on the bid and you just happened to win that bid and you only bid 2 cents, you won it for two pennies because that's all you've got invested into it. But with everybody,
is that $1.20? So you paid $1.20 or 2 cents?
You actually paid $1.20, and you won the thing for $1.20.
So you just bid pennies, but each penny is equivalent to 60 cents.
Is equivalent to 60 cents.
Okay.
So if they sold the TV for $35, they're actually not losing anything. They're actually getting top dollar, but you have a chance to win it for whatever you're bidding.
So when you bid, did you get a good deal?
No, I actually lost it. I lost the bid. And then what they do is they have an offer at the end that if you don't win it, you can actually buy it outright for a certain amount of money, whatever they have it on sale for.
Is this site worth exploring, or is it
No, it's a scam.
It is.
Because you're never, it's real hard to win something off of that. You got so many people bidding on it. It's just, it's way too hard to win it. So, it's to me, it's a scam. It's a waste of money. Don't get involved.
Oh, says Dave Novotny. I find, and I think there's research, if you price something that doesn't seem right, like I saw that TV for $1.50, right away all the red flags go up thinking there's something wrong here. While it seems like an incredible deal that anybody would take, your next thought is, how do they do that? And I don't like what I'm seeing here, even though it seems like a good idea.
Well, Jared, I mean, you could realistically win that thing for not a lot of money. I mean, you might only have $10 invested into it, but just think about how many people are bidding on that, and when are these other people going to stop bidding?
Okay.
When I was actually bidding on that surveillance system, I actually went into my money $120. So I actually bid and lost $120 and never even got an item.
You lost money. You have to send money in for not getting something?
No, you got to buy these bid packages, Gary.
Oh, see, I didn't know that. I didn't hear that.
Oh no. Yeah, you got to do all of that. So actually, I recommend nobody getting involved on this.
All right, Dave.
Wow.
You've made that point.
Yep.
All right, Dave.
All right, thanks, guys. Just want to let you know.
Thank you. CustomSteelArt.com. That's legit, and he sells things for reasonable prices.
And a dollar's a dollar.
And a dollar's a dollar.
It's not 60 great cents stuff. Or a penny. Or
see, I knew when I saw that, I saw it about two or three times over the weekend, and I, wait a minute, that doesn't seem kosher.
But that's been running for quite a while, so they must be doing something.
Okay, guess who? Matt, the trivia guy.
So it's down to this, huh?
Yeah, now you have mockers, and that's what happened.
You went a raging drunk, incoherent redneck, and a holier-than-thou self-proclaimed world-saver yuppie go at it in a battle royale on your stream signal. And you guys are making fun of me?
Yep, that's the kind of world we live in. Tough business, Matt.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And he bought you that hat and everything.
I was going to put myself on the no-fly list for a while, Gary, but I had to call in.
Yeah, he wanted to, but he just couldn't not quite call in.
No, I just had to defend myself against mockery.
I guarantee you, Matt, this isn't going to help.
Yeah, no kidding.
You're just putting more gasoline on your own fire.
My name's Matt, and I'm a garaholic.
Yeah.
So be it, then.
All right, I'll now look at the texts that slam you, and we'll share those, and all have a good afternoon. Thanks, Matt. Oh, I got it off right before the computer got him off. I got this email from Crystal. She lives in Dallas. Now, I'm going to say, first of all, that I'm trending at number 3 right now on TuneIn,
nice.
And I'm right above BBC Radio 4, and they're talking about urine trouble, what's in our water. I'm right above that. But I'm being beaten by two sports stations around the country. And I got this email in conjunction with what happened on Friday from Crystal. It says, was listening to Friday's show, and pray tell me Leslie was kidding when you missed trending at number 1 because of the Ben and Skin show. That's Ben Rogers and Jeff Skinway of 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. Now, she goes on to explain the reason that they were trending so high. Apparently, this happened because the Rangers manager, Ron Washington, he did the Lou Piniella shuffle.
Yeah,
he resigned literally unannounced with 22 games left in the season, stating personal problems as the reason. My mom is sick in Florida. I got to leave.
Yep.
I'm done. The Rangers having their worst season since the late 70s. So that news broke Friday morning. It was all over local radio, and that's why Ben and Skin were trending so high.
So Ben and Skin, I thought that wasn't yesterday, though, was it then?
Friday.
Oh, I thought that was yesterday.
No, Friday, apparently.
Because there was another sports thing that was going on yesterday, because we were talking about the NFL, was
the Ray Rice thing.
Right.
Yeah. And that's why I assume that there are, well, the second trending tune-in station is, oh, I thought it was a soccer thing. No, it's just sports.
Well, it's good to know that you're above urine.
I am above urine, but I don't know if Matt, the fake and real one, helped me out there at all. This Ray Rice story.
Wow.
Now, Mrs. Rice has come out swinging, just like her husband did in the elevator. When you look at that video, and he drags her out of the elevator like a sack of potatoes, I don't remember what happened because they had the external video outside the elevator initially.
Right, that was all
you
saw.
So when he dragged her out, what did he do? Did he just leave her there? What, did he prop her up against the wall?
He picked her up.
And walked away?
Either that. I can't remember if he went to try to get back into the elevator or he went off the other way. But the problem was that the NFL claims they never saw the part within the elevator.
His wife is defending her husband, blasting the media for the pain caused to her family. In an Instagram post by Janae Rice, she felt like she was mourning the death of my closest friend. I woke up this morning feeling like I had a horrible nightmare.
And a headache.
Yeah, but to have to accept the fact that it's reality is a nightmare itself. No one, and I'm reading it just the way it's written here, and apparently that's how she wrote it, no one know the pain that the media and unwanted options from the public have caused my family. I think she meant opinions. To make us relive a moment in our lives that we regret every day is a horrible thing. To take something away from the man I love, that he has worked his ass off for his life, for all his life, just to gain ratings is horrific. In capital letters, this is our life. What don't you all get? That's my problem. If your intentions were to hurt us, embarrass us, make us feel alone, take all happiness away, you've succeeded on so many levels. Just know you've succeeded on so many levels. Just know we will continue to grow and show the world what real love is. Raven Nation, we love you. Yeah.
So she's in more pain now than she was when he...
Right, cold cocked her in the elevator.
Right in the elevator. And what I love is how the NFL is saying, we didn't see the first part of that video. You saw a woman
being dragged out of an
dragged
elevator.
Dragged out. What do you think happened?
If they were to clamp down,
slipped on a banana peel
on all these NFL players, or a lot of them, the way they probably should be, there wouldn't be enough players to put teams together, probably, because they have a history of this.
Well, that's why initially you didn't hear a lot of players saying much when the first suspension came,
right?
Because that was only two games. And they all sort of, it was almost like that Michael Vick thing with the dog fighting. It's like, oh, well, geez, I think I've been to a few dog fights. I better not jump on the pile here. And then when it became socially unacceptable, then everybody was outraged.
Well, they have to be now because I'm sure they were told by their teams,
You
better come out against this because
exactly.
This is a crap storm that we are really not winning right now.
Well, the key is a lot of stuff seems to be, a lot of altercations seem to happen in elevators.
Well, that Beyonce.
Yeah, between Jay-Z and
whatever
his...
came of that, anything?
No,
well,
it's a family
Yeah, it was
issue.
A family affair, you know, so. What can happen there? It's a couple of entertainers. There's nobody to suspend you.
Then they
all went shopping the next
The
day.
Mayor of music doesn't come down and
I guess not.
And suspend you.
The amazing thing is how much this TMZ group gets. They're everywhere. They're becoming like ABC or CBS as far as breaking news stories.
They're the New York Times.
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, do you remember when the Inquirer went through a period like that where it was the outlet that was breaking all the important news of the day and TMZ?
And they got criticized. Then 85% of the time they were right because that's all they do is put reporters on this stuff.
They broke John Edwards with with his baby. I mean, that was a presidential candidate. That wasn't just some screwball.
The National Enquirer, that's just a rag. They're just sensationalizing everything, and it turns out they're right most of the time.
But see,
do you watch TMZ?
I have, yeah.
I got to say, it is one of my guilty pleasures these days. I stay up late just so I can watch.
Or they have the advantage.
Okay, it's not late. It's 10:30 or something.
But where they have the advantage is because now they're visual. The Inquirer was on paper. You had to go buy it. Not everybody saw it. But here, you got their own TV
it's everywhere.
Show.
Once it's uploaded, We'll see that around the world in about 5 seconds, what happened with this. This thing got out, and within an hour, all hell was breaking loose.
I'm sure he was driving to practice. Yeah. And all of a sudden, he probably told him to turn around.
Oopsie.
But how about, I mean, she is in either such denial or she's in such a kind of victim kind of
now,
mindset.
Now, first
where,
of all, he's got no job and he smacked you and knocked you out. And you're thinking, what's it going to be like with no job?
Yeah. He's home
because
more
of all this. Well, I hope that
which
that
is
doesn't
scary.
Well, what are
escalate
his prospects
at all
now? Well, of course, he's got the fabulous college education, as do all the NFL players.
Oh, yeah.
But I
she
don't
said
see,
sarcastically.
He has an
he
art.
Didn't see what he's going to be
he
doing.
He did not
next
go through college.
They all do, but it's
yeah,
usually
it's
you
college,
find
yeah
out. Yeah.
Yeah, I went to class.
A kind class.
Yeah. Art history.
Go to class?
Art history major. He could be a curator for a museum.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That pays well, as much as the NFL.
So, and now you wonder, I mean, people say, how could she have married him after she was his fiancée?
Well, yeah.
Well, hello? Look at the payday here. So now I wonder, now does she divorce him when the check stopped coming in?
Well, everybody's going to be keeping an eye on this couple.
Jeez.
This is just the NFL being the idiots that they've always been and getting caught once again. And now they're doing the mop-up, whereas they had the video where she was being dragged off the elevator.
Shouldn't that be enough?
But you know that these people know before we know what really happened, because they're not that dumb. They might be idiots, but they're not dumb. And that is a difference.
Well, Harbaugh's brother is in the middle of the storm because he's the coach.
Right.
And he apparently, after the first video was shown where he was just dragging her,
right,
and they gave him the, he said, this is no big deal. Okay, let's get on with it. We're moving on.
Well, I saw him last night. That wasn't his tone last night.
No, well, now he's...
And they decided to start pulling the pink jerseys, the Ray Rice pink girl jerseys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whose idea was it to make those things in the first place?
I think football needs to understand that era of the macho guy, whether it's a coach yelling at players or making these homophobic... I mean, I remember playing football in high school, and the coaches...
they taunted you, didn't they?
Oh, sure. No, no.
What?
But I mean, that was commonplace to be misogynistic and homophobic, and you were called names.
What side of the coin were you on in that one?
Well, both.
Yeah.
Wasn't your nickname in high school Sally?
I felt offended by both of them.
He called himself names. Just try to get ahead of it.
But those... society is different.
Well, what about that NBA owner...
No,
that's got to sell his team.
Yeah.
And he was blasting Sterling.
He outed himself. That guy outed himself, which tells me I think he just wanted to unload an NBA team.
Well, the prices are up.
Right, exactly.
And that's it. And now, otherwise, I'm stuck with this thing, which, according to his own email, isn't the draw that it used to be and isn't pulling in the cash that they want.
Well,
appealing to
which guy is this? Who's
Atlanta?
From the Hawks. The Hawks, the Atlanta Hawks.
And he sent some emails.
In 2007. He's pulling stuff from 5 years ago.
And then he got on the let's get rid of Sterling bandwagon.
Right.
They all did.
And he had to know that he wrote these emails about we need more white fans. And why
well,
do you care who's buying the tickets?
No, here's what he
said. Well, because they're showing up late and they're not buying the tickets.
But here's what he said. Whites don't want to be in a spot where they are not the majority. Like in in the crowd.
Yeah, all right.
And,
although Atlanta,
yeah,
I believe demographically,
right,
is
but they don't want to,
black.
Okay, they don't want to be an enclosed area where they are not the majority. And the black fan does not earn enough in order to buy the expensive tickets and packages and skyboxes and everything. So that's why
in
this
Atlanta,
is,
he's saying
this is a dead business.
Yeah. Okay, it sure is for him now. Although he'll make $1.5 billion off his team and walk away. And where's the punishment?
Okay, and with all that Donald Sterling stuff, it was all about getting more diversity in the NBA. Isn't the new owner...
Steve Ballmer. You can't get money any more whiter than him.
He's richer.
Okay. Yeah. Pretty much exactly what they've been talking about the entire time.
Every
okay
one of the black kind of...
investors.
Investors, those groups didn't get it. The white guy from from Microsoft got it.
Well, because he bid $2 billion.
Yeah, which is...
Somebody's coming into the studio. What happened?
Oh, he wants his tripod.
Don't we all? All right.
I was wondering why there was a stray tripod there.
All right. And why was that in here? Who was Johnny doing his porn again that he sells on the side?
Johnny and the porning.
Yeah. Yeah, baby. It's a blowgram. All right. A little silence there. If there was no silence, you wouldn't think you're listening to .fm. It's kind of our thing now. 312-521-8600. You listeners, you like to add in, and I like that. It says, tomorrow, at the end of your opening... All right.
What? Tomorrow?
Tomorrow... Here, I'll just read it. Tomorrow's intro, you can say, here it comes, I'm going to trend all over your face. Now, that would just be in your ears. So that's the way that's got to be read.
Even better.
Yeah. It's a very surgical shot right into your ears.
Because what did you say today? I'm trending? You said...
How did I do that today?
It was a little...
Stand back, I'm going to trend all over the place. That's the way it is. A little more on this Ray Rice deal. In Baltimore, Baltimore Pizzeria is offering all fans who turn in their Rice jerseys a free pie. Come trade your Ray Rice Ravens jersey for a free pizza at Hershey's. These jerseys will save us money on toilet paper this week. The pizza joint also added it would donate $2.70. Rice was number 27 to the House of Ruth, a Baltimore charity, for each jersey it receives, since there are only so many we can use for toilet paper. So,
now, just to play devil's advocate, do you think that the average Baltimore Ravens fan is outraged by this behavior or mad that one of their best players is not on the team?
I'm sure you're going to get a little of both.
Yeah. I mean, like this. Is this place jumping on the bandwagon because right now, today, everybody is outraged? But as the season goes on and the Ravens aren't good, I wonder where that starts to turn. Because one of their best players now is gone and makes them less of a team.
Again, you're going to get some that say, that's a little too harsh, a punishment. And others will say, that's what he deserves. It's really interesting in that when Vic got bounced for the dog fighting, I would imagine that more people were outraged because it was dogs.
Right.
I've always thought this. I think people get more outraged when animals are involved than when people are being the victims. But that's just the way we are. We love our animals.
Well, look, a perfect example. This guy, I haven't heard anything about any kind of criminal charges, right?
Right. I don't know
if
that's
pending. Exactly what you're saying, Michael Vick went to jail for hurting dogs.
Yeah.
This guy punched his wife.
Is that out of the question? Will there be no charges?
I don't know. If she doesn't press charges, can the state?
I
don't know. No. I mean, she's based on her statement today, she's not going to press charges. So
no,
it's not coming from
like she's trying to do damage control with him.
Yeah. So
Chip is skydiving, apparently.
Wow.
Chip.
Hey, what's up, Gary? How are you?
Talk to me. Good.
So I texted you an article yesterday, and I don't even know if it was a real article because it was so right up your alley. This winter is supposed to be brutal, like snowy and really cold, and that's fine with me. But the article went on to have a paragraph and a half about how because of the cold winter and the snow that milk and bread prices especially are going to go up.
Okay.
What the hell is that? Why do we got to worry about milk and bread prices? Are you kidding me?
I don't understand the correlation either, but the reason I started laughing is because I thought of that audio that we would use during the winter, got to get the bread and milk, whenever there was a storm predicted during the winter, got to get the bread and milk. When that storm last Friday started to brew, somebody texted me and said, play the bread and milk for that one, too. Got to get the bread and milk. Got to get the bread and milk.
Oh, it's so funny. Like, if anything, I need booze if I'm going to have to be in all night or all day. I got to get some booze. I don't need milk.
Bread and milk.
Like, I probably have a half a gallon. I can make it a day on half a gallon of milk. And even if I got, like, 3 pieces of bread, I think we're going to be all right so I can get to the store again.
I agree. Tom did address the weather that might happen this winter yesterday. And while he can only give you the next 7 days with some kind of accuracy, he said there are some indications that it might be as bad as last year, but you don't know until you get closer.
Right.
And I don't remember them predicting last year's polar vortex until we were pretty close or in it already.
No, in fact, they predicted last summer or last winter was going to be warmer and milder than the previous one. So they have no idea.
Nobody knows.
But somebody knows that milk prices and bread prices are going up. So, man, you better stock up.
I like how, they just throw that on the pile, even though how does that correlate to a bad winter?
Right.
Are the cows... What's the deal with the cows in winter?
Well, the thing that cracks me up is like it's just panic. Go out and get bread and milk. Well, what's
now
about bread and milk?
But what are we gonna do now? It's September. What are we gonna stock up for December with bread and milk?
Well, not, they talked about in the article sticking the bread in the freezer, like they said that. Yeah.
All right.
Bread will last. Well, it's so ridiculous. Anyway,
thanks, Chip.
Yeah.
Did you find that?
Yeah. Well, I have to maybe see if Keith can play. For some reason, my computer,
it's not playing.
Remember how there was a little silence before? There's something going on.
Peter.
Yes, I heard a local sports program late this morning. Ray Rice will not face any further criminal actions regarding hitting his fiance. He entered some sort of a special plea, went into some sort of a counseling program, and the prosecutor, when jammed by the press, said that he was treated as every first offender would be treated.
Okay. I wonder what's going to happen now, because the NFL, like I said earlier, has dozens of stories similar to this where they don't punish the player as severely. So now what are they going to do? When a lot of these players, they do this stuff, drunk driving or whatever. Oh, well, he's going for counseling and all that. I'm not saying that Ray Rice should not be suspended. But again, is this the punishment that fits what he did compared to all the other NFL thugs out there?
Well, it's kind of unbelievable. They're punishing NFL players for smoking marijuana in jurisdictions where smoking marijuana is not illegal.
I know. They are really...
You talk about a can of worms. The NFL has more problems than a one-legged man in a butt-kicking contest.
Exactly. They were going to... Now they're going to really be under the microscope, so... If they were thinking, hey, we'll just push this off to the side, now look what's going to happen.
As it goes further and further towards ladies' football, they'll probably turn it into a flag football league because of the concussions.
Sure. Thank you, Peter.
Take care.
All right. Craig the alcoholic already checking in, usually not this early, must be somewhat sober. Boy, that was a little rough yesterday, huh, Craig?
It wasn't bad. It wasn't a big deal.
All right.
I just wanted to call Gary and apologize to you, your crew, all your listeners for what happened yesterday. It was kind of surprising to me that he came on the air like that, but I just want to apologize. I apologize for my language at the very end. I'm not looking to make anybody mad or anything like that,
I think this, and here is what happened if you didn't hear it. Craig was on, and then this Stefan called, and he wanted to get in Craig's grill because Craig drives a garbage truck for a living but hasn't driven since last December. He's got some kind of disability. This Stefan said he's going to check around Central Illinois to see what company you work for to make sure they know that you were driving and drinking, but you claim that you never did that.
I've never drank on the job ever.
Okay.
And would never. I've only started calling in about a month ago, but I've been listening to you a long time. I mean, I wasn't going to call in be fake. And yes, I have drove after I've drank, and that's what I told you. And you said, well, I don't want you to do it no more. Okay.
Yeah, that's my feeling. And that conversation came after I talked to Rita Kreslin from AIM. And I thought it was going to be a somewhat intelligent exchange with Stefan saying to you, hey, can you kind of go along with what Gary said, don't drink and drive, and then it escalated into that name-calling, which I didn't think was necessary.
Yeah, well, I don't have nothing against him. I don't even know who that guy is. But, I mean, and I wasn't saying everybody that drinks has drove and drank. But what I was just being honest, you know. I drink, and I have drove after I've drank. And I know I'm not the only one in this world that's done it.
No, you aren't, you know? Because there are thousands of DUIs out there to prove you're right by what you say. But there's no need to drink and drive.
I agree with that. And I've never had a DUI. And I have a CDL. And we have to have a lower alcohol level than the regular drivers. I've never had a DUI. I've never drove on the job, ever. And I haven't worked, like you said, since last December. If I want to sit on my deck by the lake and drink, I'm going to do it. You know, mm-hmm. If Stefan or whatever his name was doesn't like it, I really don't care. I just wanted to apologize to you, Baba Bibble, everybody on your crew. I know after I got off the phone, you read a text and said it sounded like the Maury Povich show. Yeah. I don't want your show to sound like that. I apologize to all your listeners.
Well, I appreciate that, Craig. And like I said, I just wanted it to be an exchange about drinking and driving. I didn't want it to get to where it got. And I don't have, like on AM radio, where you have a button you can hit when things start to go off the rails. I don't have that button. So by the time I realized, well, by the time it was already on the air, and there's nothing I can do about it. I can't take it out. Well, it goes.
I understand that. I just wanted to apologize for my part of it.
All right.
And I did hear you say you don't want me to drink and drive. I've worked on it. I'll continue to work on that.
Well, please. And that's all. I mean, I'm not going to get into being your moral compass beyond that. The drinking and driving's got to stop. You're not doing...
Well, I understand that. And if your listeners and your show would rather me not call in no more, I don't have a problem with that.
Just keep calling. This is not the AM format. It's not going to adhere to what you used to listen to several months ago. And
well, I know.
I'm not really bothered by the length of callers and the stuff that I was always worried about. And maybe some of these callers are bogging you down as a listener. I'm not trying to do that either. I'm not just putting them on and keeping them on because I can.
This is
a little different. I don't have that many callers, as many as I had on the AM. So I'm willing to spend a little more time.
I just don't want to ruin your show.
There's nothing to ruin. It's the Internet, baby. There's nothing to ruin. Have you seen what's on the Internet?
All I've listened to on the Internet is your show. And whether I call in or not, just so you know, I will continue to listen every day because I love your show.
Thank you, Craig. Just don't drink and drive, and you're welcome to call in anytime. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, and Craig, to his credit, has been very honest, because this whole thing started a couple, 3 weeks ago when we had some questions about alcoholism, and you said...
Yeah, that's all I ask. I'm not going to get into his alcoholism. I would hope at some point he comes to terms with that, but that's none of my business. But it is when he gets on the road drunk. That is my business and everybody else's, because I have equated them to terrorists. It's the same thing. You don't know when they're going to strike and they could kill you. What's the difference between that and a terrorist? They're the ISIS
on wheels.
On wheels of the United States.
Yeah, he came up with Baba Shivel and Baba Sniffles and Baba Shiva.
He comes up with some good ones.
So, I mean, you know.
Happy Sandy Koufax perfect game 49-year anniversary. Most strikeouts, 14, and a perfect game ever. He is the greatest Jewish athlete since Jesus.
There's a picture. I was on the Dodgers, and he threw a no-hitter.
And he took a Rosh Hashanah off, or Yom Kippur.
Was one of the, he took that.
Because they happened around this time. In fact, I heard David Hochberg talking to somebody in the hallway about something. All I heard was, no, I'm off. It's Rosh Hashanah.
Ah.
So that must be coming up soon.
Yeah, probably, usually.
Marks the beginning of the Cubs' more than one hit per game 49-year streak. So 49 years ago, that would be 60, where are we here?
63.
65?
65, yeah.
The Cubs had a run there of some sort that was good?
I don't know. What did he say? A hit a game.
Yeah.
Well, everybody, only that's not good then.
Mark, it's, let's see. How's,
everybody gets at least one hit a game. Or they
marks the beginning of the Cubs more than one hit per game.
More than one hit.
49-year streak. I don't know what that means, but that was a remarkable feat. That Sandy Koufax, I do remember as a kid what he accomplished. Yeah, but I do remember him taking off for the Jewish holiday,
and I believe,
or Holy Day.
And that was either in the playoffs or the World Series. That wasn't just some game.
Right.
That was a very important game. I can't remember if it was the World Series or the playoffs, but it was like, whoa, what are you talking about? he got a lot of...
As far as the Ray Rice thing, this text points out something that I think is valid. If there was no video, there's no...
Nope.
No story.
If TMZ doesn't release that yesterday.
There's
he's
no,
got two games
no story. Still happened.
Right.
But
two games
nobody knows. And he still has a career.
Yeah.
But that's the other side of the coin where there's a camera everywhere. And if you're going to pull some nonsense, chances are it's going to be on video.
Do people not know that there are cameras in elevators?
I think a lot of people don't.
I mean, I thought by this time that was common knowledge.
No. I think you think that it's that little space.
Yeah,
what's going to happen in there?
That,
why would they put a camera? Look in the corner of the elevator.
Yeah.
Many times you'll see that little lens there.
That is not a private spot. Just because the doors close and you're enclosed for a while.
There's a camera everywhere.
Yeah, I mean. And especially, I mean, you know, this happened in February that they at least showed the video initially, or when this happened. When did that Jay-Z thing happen?
A few months ago.
Oh, okay, so I'm trying to think. They didn't shouldn't they have learned a lesson? But that obviously happened before.
Here's a text at 312-521-8600. Gary Myers Show trending number one amongst alcoholics.
Ah, very good.
Alcoholics is the correct answer. There are people too. Bob.
Yes.
Hey.
Yeah, that was a perfect game that Sandy Koufax pitched against the Cubs. And Ron Santo played in that game. And after Glenn Beckard had struck out and he was walking back past Santo, he said to Santo, Koufax has nothing today.
Okay. So that it says here on this text, that was the last time someone pitched a no-hitter against the Cubs.
That's correct. They have not been no-hit since.
Wow.
Well, that's something. If they can cling on to that.
That's about the only thing the Cubs can hang their hat on right now.
And the Cubs have had several no-hitters since then.
Yeah, Bert Hooten threw one. Mil Pappas should have had a perfect game.
Well, Kenny Holtzman threw two.
Kenny Holtzman threw two, yes.
Was Mil Pappas the guy whose wife
that she fell,
drove into a pond?
And they didn't find her until several years ago. They wound up finding her in a little retention pond.
And the pond was down the street from where she lived, right?
And they were looking, they were scavenging the areas and flights out of town and train stations. And
what was the end of that story? What happened there?
I think she may have gotten some kind of, she fainted. She may have had some kind of a diabetic
seizure
or something where she lost control of the car and went into this retention pond right by their house, and the car sunk, and they never even either found her or,
All right. Thank you, Bob.
Just want to say one thing again. I love your show. You're the greatest on the radio.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay. Bye-bye.
I got this text. There will always be drunk drivers. Get over it. Well, I hope you're not in the path of one.
Yeah, no kidding.
And then you can get over it, too.
Jeez.
Hope you can get away from it when it's heading your way. Jill?
Gary, I have an embarrassing elevator story.
Okay.
I am 42. I was young, in my early 20s, and sassy and looking cute. And I was flirting with the gentleman that I was in the elevator with and probably doing inappropriate things that would embarrass my parents. So we'll just leave it to your imagination. But then a voice, like from heaven, said, ma'am, there's an elevator camera, and we can see you.
And this was 20-some years ago.
Yes, this was at North Pier, and it was just two stories, and we were just going in the elevator for a very short period of time and didn't do anything that inappropriate, but certainly nothing I'd want to do that somebody else would see. And he goes, we can see you, ma'am. And I'm like,
North Pier, we had offices over there at that time. Let me think. No, I think I was okay. I took the stairs. It was only two stories.
It wasn't you, Gary, I swear. No.
I remember the elevators being very slow, too.
Yes, they were slow, but they were relatively modern, and obviously they had not only a camera but a speaker that they could at least communicate with you. And, oh, I was so embarrassed. I could have died.
Yeah. Well, wait, you were in there with a stranger, or was this somebody you knew?
No, a guy that I was with.
Oh,
we were going to a bar down the street.
It did sound like it was some guy that she got on the elevator
with. Got on the elevator
and
with
just started to get sausage eyes with him.
No, that would be super crazy.
If that was the case, the guys would have let her go. They wouldn't even have come through the intercom. Hey, this looks cool.
Yeah,
that
it's
is
a stranger.
Actually what the guy, that's what my boyfriend at the time said. He goes, I can't believe they said anything. I would have just watched. I wouldn't have spoiled it.
Well, how far was this going to go?
Not too far. Like you said, it was like two stories. We were just, flirting and touching. It wasn't super bad, but.
Yeah.
Both feet on the ground or what?
Reaching for the stars?
Yes, all of our feet were on the ground. All four paws on the ground.
All right.
Well, you mean yours or his?
No.
Hey.
Hey, no. His feet, my feet. Four. Gotcha.
All right. That's 20-some years ago. Again,
right
now, there must be a camera in every elevator if there were 20 years ago.
Right. And I thought that would be a great reality TV show, like those blooper shows or World's Dumbest. They should just have the elevators in Vegas. They should just make an online channel. That would sell.
Like that taxi cab confessional show. That's really what that
is. Exactly.
All right. Thanks, Jill.
But, sure. But can't you at least, when you're, say you're alone in the elevator and you need to, like, adjust? I mean, you have to do that, right?
That is my biggest concern about our ever-vigilant society now, is that you just simply cannot get your underpants out of your crack
sometimes. That's what I mean. There's times when you need to adjust the furniture, and you're on a camera, and you're in an elevator, and you are by yourself, and the door is going to open, and you will see people again. So this is your shot.
These days I'm concerned when I'm in a bathroom stall. I'm still assuming somebody somewhere is able to see.
All right, this text before. Leslie, did you find the bread and milk?
He's got it.
Peace. Can we hear that?
I gotta get the bread and milk. Oh my God, I gotta get the bread and milk. I gotta get the bread and milk. They said snow! I gotta get the bread and milk! Oh my God! I gotta get the bread and milk! Oh my God!
They should just have a camera, these local TV stations, at a hardware store. When there's a storm coming, flip that on, show the empty aisle where the shovels and the salt used to be.
Snowblowers.
And all the other cliched stuff they do.
The weird thing now is because of this virus, that's happening in the cough medicine aisle right
now. They're showing that. It's all gone.
It's pretty much. Well, my husband went to get me some cough medicine.
It's all
he
gone.
Said it was like, got to get the bread and milk.
And the cough medicine. And this one before you launch in. You guys are dopes. They mean to the Cubs haven't been no hit since 1965.
You said one hit, though.
I just read that one as it was. I should have pre-read it, I guess. The Cubs have not been no hit since 65. Well, hang your hat on that if you need to. Creef, when am I going to talk to Dan Fedor about the iPhone 6, Cubs nothing?
And the iWatch.
I thought these iPhone 6 phones, I think that's redundant, were going for about $600, $700, but then Leslie said the top phone in that category is $300?
Yeah. Maybe one of them, but she was talking about $199 and two, I think the watch is like $340,
right, but
$350, something like that.
Maybe you stand in line for somebody.
Yeah, maybe you have to pay.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I'll talk to Dan. He knows this stuff. Milt Pappas story. Mrs. Pappas was, in fact, drinking. She got disoriented and drove her car into a pond.
Oh, is that what happened? She was drinking. And Milt, to this day, as the caller said, Milt came within one pitch of throwing a perfect game, which is no hits and no walks, and he still hates the umpire that called ball four. Still to this day. I saw him one time at a college baseball game. He was just sitting in the stands, and I went up to him, and I said, Harvey Wendelstedt really blew that call, and he said, Bruce Fremming was the guy, and he's like, And he started swearing. I was like, whoa, this is 40 years later.
Give it up, Milt. All right, Dan is here to talk about the iPhone 6. Dan Fedor is on my program to talk about technology in general, and this is the big deal today. Did you two play at the release of this out in Cupertino? I saw an article that said you two might, in fact, play because they're all very tight and release their new album today or play some songs from the new album.
They do have a new album coming out this year.
So there was some tie into that. Did that happen, Danny?
You know what, Gary? I've been doing my best Michael Keaton, Mr. Mom impression today, and I don't know if you two actually played it, but that was the hot rumor that they were going to help kick off the event. I did not see anything on the tech website Gizmodo about who opened
Well, I will
show.
Call my brother tonight because the last time he lives in that area. The last time you two went to the Apple headquarters, my brother's standing across the street with a few people because he knew that they were going to be there. He's a big U2 fan. And he's standing there. All of a sudden, here comes Bono, the Edge, the Straight, the Narrow, whatever the group's names are, and starts talking to everybody standing there, about a dozen people. He couldn't
Adam
believe
Clayton
it.
And Larry Mullen Jr., yeah.
There were the U4.
I saw them at the Pavilion in 1984.
I was at that concert too.
The UIC Pavilion.
They're at the Pavilion.
I saw them at the formerly the Rosemont Horizon, 1987, I believe.
Yeah, that was a great concert. And the way we got there was there's an aluminum can drive at my high school, and we figured out we could buy all the aluminum cans from the pool hall owners in the Oak Park, Melrose Park area for less than the tickets.
And
we won our four tickets. Can you hear me, Gary?
Yes. Yes, I can. What kind of phone do you use?
I'm an Android user and kind of an Android fan, if you will. I've always gone a little bit against the grain. But I've been following this iPhone 6 launch pretty closely.
And what are the features on this new phone?
Well, the best analogy I can come up with between the iPhone and Android is that Android is kind of the Manfred Mann blinded by the light of mobile phones, or the Michael Bolton, the Percy Sledge. Apple came out first with an unbelievable brand-new device that no one really expected or could have predicted and was soon copied by a variety of others. But Android has essentially taken over the lion's share of the market. There are 173 million smartphone users in the United States, as of a study that was published in July. Of the 173 million, you've got about 52% of the market comprising Android phones and 42% comprising Apple. But Apple fans are very loyal, and they also tend to be more tech savvy and a little bit more app friendly. So your Apple base remains very strong and very committed. But what's been interesting about this launch is basically what Apple is doing is playing, in my opinion, playing catch-up to what's been happening with Android. If you recall, on our last show, we gave away the LG G3. All of the phones have trended much larger to what we call phablets, a combination between a phone and a tablet. So this is Apple's response to launch two new phones underneath the i6. Banner. One is a 4.7-inch screen, and the other is a pretty big 5.5-inch screen.
And what are the screens on the iPhone 5? What's that size?
That's a 4-inch screen. So if you hold a 4.7 or a 5.5-inch screen, and then you go back to the, it'll feel like you're holding a domino.
All right, and
they did perform there, by the way.
They did perform. You two did perform for this launch today, and they were playing songs from their new album, I believe.
And apparently they're going to give away, I'm trying to find the exact how this is going to happen, but they're going to give away the new album to the iTunes people. If you have an iTunes
account,
it sounds like you'll get
you're
the album.
You're going to get the album for free.
It's like a half a billion people.
How do they make any money? On touring then?
Yeah,
is that the only, I guess most of these acts now make the most on touring.
Yeah, albums are just
a giveaway. It's a lost leader,
Right.
No, that's exactly right, is that Apple maintains a very strong this kind of goes to the point that some of your listeners have been making that, oh, I'm not going to buy an iPhone, I'm not going to buy a smartphone just to listen to you. Well, there's this trend where you do have kind of a more, I guess, a hierarchy of iPhone users are probably on average a little wealthier, more technophile than the rest of us necessarily. And so there is kind of this a little bit what could be perceived as a growing chasm, but they're just a very dedicated, loyal fan base. And this iPhone 6 and the iWatch, they launched the iWatch. If you remember, Eddie from Verizon was wearing a smartwatch when we were there back in July.
Mm-hmm.
And Samsung is on its like third or fourth smartwatch. And now Apple has finally released its own watch to great anticipation. And I was a little bit relieved when I saw it because it, to me, is no sexier looking than anything that is out there right now. It's got a square face, a leather band. But what is unique about it is you guys were talking a lot about, you know, we go back to the $50 bill, carrying cash, et cetera. The iWatch is going to have near-field communication capability, NFC capability, as well as the iPhone 6. And, again, that's another catch-up to Android. Android users have been enjoying near-field communication capability, which is similar to Bluetooth. If you go to a Walgreens, you'll see on the payment terminal there's a little kind of wireless icon. That means if you have an NFC phone and you're using some type of mobile payment, you can just tap your phone to the payment terminal and not take out your wallet. So now the iWatch takes it a step further and has NFC built into the watch, so you can just hold your wrist up to the payment terminal and pay your bill.
Does it tell time?
That's the one thing it doesn't do.
No, it does not tell time.
I heard that the public's response to these watches has been indifference is the word I saw.
Yes, and it's a major statement that Apple is deciding to go with a watch because they now Samsung has shipped and sold like at least 500,000 watches, there is popularity, but it's been lukewarm. Now that Apple is in the game, there is a definite a positive trend. You know, you're going to get a lot of users. However, the iWatch is not going to be available until 2015 and is going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of $350. So it's a little bit eyebrow raising. You can buy a smartwatch right now off of eBay for like $120, maybe the first generation Samsung. But again, I would say it's a game of catch up with regard to putting out an iWatch, but it's significant because you will see probably those sales climb now that Apple is in the smartwatch game. And a lot based on fitness.
Right. It measures. He just got cut off there. Call back, Dan.
Yeah,
it measures
steps and everything. Yeah, your
cardio
heart,
and all that.
Yeah.
When you're working out.
I have to think that's going to still be a niche.
Well, so far it is.
Yeah.
It's not the big seller they hoped it would be. I'm going to ask Dan when he comes back. Can't you? And did I remember this correctly? Didn't Steve Jobs sue? Was it Samsung?
Right. They've been constantly
can't you
back and
patent
forth.
The design of what Steve Jobs came up with? Because all these phones look the same, and I'm thinking, is there no patent where you own that design?
Well, apparently Samsung is notorious for
borrowing.
And they have and Apple and Samsung have been in court for years over the iPhone.
It just has to be frustrating to come up with something, and then within a few months, this other company has the exact same design for the most part.
Well, I mean, but everybody pretty much does have that same design.
That's what I mean. They all lifted it, if in fact it was lifted. I was talking, Dan, about the design of the Apple phone that Jobs came up with, and all these other phones look exactly the same. Is there some kind of patent infringement here? And there are lawsuits pending, right?
Yes, there's been massive suits, mostly between Apple and Samsung. Android, Google, which is behind Android, has kind of been able to stay somewhat out of it. But basically, there was a huge multiple suits between the two, basically Apple saying, you know, you've stolen our design, and you know, it's kind of like a song being copied in some degree. So long story short, There has now been some movement by the companies to resolve these lawsuits and move on with things. I kind of liken it to the fact that, you know, we all wouldn't want to be driving only a Model T Ford. Eventually, people were going to figure out that cars were popular and start making their own, and it would be as if, you know, Ford tried to patent the automobile. So it's a good thing for consumers. But, yeah, there's definitely a lot of truth to the fact that, you know, most of these phones are a copycat of what Steve Jobs created.
I got a text, and I was thinking this, too, after we talked about U2 releasing their entire album for free on iTunes. It says on this text, you got to figure Apple wrote U2 a nice check, which is feasible. Here's $10, $20 million. Right. Just give us the album, and we'll take it from there.
Didn't Jay-Z do that with somebody, Dan, a while ago?
I don't know about that, but Apple is sitting on billions in cash, just billions of dollars, as are many U.S. companies. So, again, we go back to that, you know, quid pro quo to the public. When you've got companies like Apple, which, you know, I think we're close to the number one profitable company in the world, they can afford to do these things because we keep buying their devices. And that's what they've managed to do, is they've kind of turned the tables from way back when, you know, the Apple computer was so popular, then they got washed out by the Microsoft computers. They've kind of turned that back to being more of a high-end device, and they've managed to maintain their appeal and continue to do so based on, you know, the build-up. You guys were mentioning that people were already in line to buy the iPhone 6 a week ago.
And the iPhone 6, the cheapest model is a couple hundred bucks?
Yeah, you know, they're all going to be sold on contracts, but I was reading, you know, $299, AT&T, things like that. So, you know, when you're looking for phones, you know, you typically will buy them, you know, in contract through one of the carriers. But, yeah, I saw something about $299 for probably the iPhone 6, and then there's the iPhone 6 extra large, if you will.
Yeah, $199 for the 16 GB version, $299 for a 64 gigabyte, $399 for a 128 GB version.
Yeah, which is, again, the memories are just expanding unbelievably so, and so having that kind of memory on your phone is a good and a bad thing. You'll never have to, like, wipe it clean of pictures with 128 gigabytes, but then, of course, that is just thousands and thousands and thousands of pictures and videos and songs that you can have in one place.
And I saw a TV commercial last night, Chevy, talking about their internet capabilities that are going to be in the 2015 models. We've been talking about this with all of your visits, and the fact that I'm on the internet only, which 4 months ago when they told me, I thought, well, it's going to be a smaller audience, but it is. But I'll tell you what, in a year, I think we're going to be talking a massive shifting of the way you can get these things in your car, whether it's the 2015 models or 2016. It's coming faster and faster.
You're Christopher Columbus.
Excuse me?
You're Christopher Columbus.
Right, because I don't know where I'm going. And I'm bringing scurvy wherever I go. And I'm going to destroy the native population.
You're
going to
rape and pillage.
Yeah, I'm going to leave a disease with the native population. Yes, I'm just like Double C.
Okay, how about David Crockett then?
Yeah.
You're a pioneer.
Yeah, right, something like that.
Okay.
So yeah, here's your iPhone and your blanket.
Go ahead, discover something. Am I correct in the way cars are going to be adding this kind of technology?
Well, absolutely, and that's a great lead-in. You know, keep in mind, 173 million people have a smartphone. That means that you have a potential 173 million listeners just in the United States. Most of the – I think there's just a statistic that said there's 100 million mobile users in Africa. You know, they've leapfrogged. They went from nothing past PCs to mobile devices. So it's – There's you know, the limit is the world's population in terms of how many people can tune you in and where. And then, yes, I'm happy to report that we discussed this last time, but Parrot, not Perot.
Perot, in France.
The French company, with their Asteroid radio, we're going to have one installed. And that, you know, whether it's aftermarket radios, your phone, et cetera, people are going to be tuning in to the internet in their cars on a regular basis in only increasing numbers. And let me just mention this, because I do drive around a lot out here in the burbs. It bothers me. I see just about everybody when they're at a stoplight, looking down into their lap on their phone. And I'm not that much better because I do use my phone a lot in the car, but it is permanently put on the mount on my dashboard. If you visit my website, facebook.com/dansgadgets, I'll repost it, but I've got the mount that I use from amazon.com, $15-$20. I mean, at least your eyes are above your dashboard when you're looking at your phone so you could catch something off of your peripheral vision. It just disturbs me how many people are looking at their laps while they're at stoplights and probably driving. So I just want to leave that with the listeners to really think hard about using a mount in your car, whether it's the windshield or the dash.
I'm noticing a lot of, I'll be behind a car, the light will turn green, and they're not moving.
Not moving.
All I can assume is that they're doing what you said, Dan.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty pervasive, and it's a tough thing to stop, but the mounts are pretty easy. And, you know, again, that's where, like, Android with Samsung and LG, they've been able to do things because they just churn phones out, like every 3 months. And so, you know, quite literally, I think one of the things about the new iPhone is that you're suddenly going to be able to do Wi-Fi calling, which surprised me. I could be wrong, but that's what I know I read that, meaning that you can use a data service to make phone calls versus the cellular service. And you can have, and that's because Google and Apple don't exactly get along, but you've been able to use Wi-Fi for calling with Google for years. So a lot of it is catch up, but I'm able to use Google Voice in my car as people can use Siri, you know, to call people without touching my phone, to text people without touching my phone by just simply giving the phone oral commands. And, again, that's just going to make things safer. And speaking of new cars, the latest Lincoln or Cadillac, I'm sorry, the latest Cadillac is going to allow you not to touch the steering wheel or the gas or brake pedal because it's going to know where it is on the road and be able to communicate with other cars.
Hmm. This is in the 15 models.
And no, I think it's the 17 models. I meant to say in 2017, that model is going to have essentially hands and foot-free driving capability.
That's wild.
But I've also heard that they're afraid about the possibility of hacking into that.
Pirate motor in your car.
And all of a sudden you're driving 55 or 60 on the highway and they turn your car off or they put it in reverse.
Or press on the gas.
So obviously you're going to have to build that in, but that is one of the fears that once this becomes out there, that this now becomes a new target for hackers to say, let me see what I could do with that.
Well, and you guys addressed this on, you know, and a week ago with the celebrity pictures in the cloud and everything like that, and it's true, you know, with payments. But in a way, hacking has become so pervasive, it's kind of like everyone can kind of expect to get compromised at least once or twice every couple of years. But it's so pervasive and it's happened so often that I don't want to dismiss it, but you know, you change your password, your bank will usually refund the money that was taken. You know, you try to use a credit card instead of a debit card to make internet transactions because you don't want someone cleaning out your bank account. But you know, the problem with that is kind of less so than it used to be, because there's not necessarily defenses against it, but everyone is kind of used to it, and there's things in place to fix it. So the trouble is kind of not nearly as much as it would seem in the face of what you're now able to do with your phone.
And Dan, I'm going to mention once again to have people go to your Facebook page to look up that FM transmitter you've been talking about on all your visits. It's the simplest way to go as far as getting the program over your FM channels in your car. Any FM channel comes through all your car speakers, this show, with this FM transmitter. It's only $8-$10 on Amazon. And what's the brand name of it?
The best pronunciation I can give it is Poxwan. We posted it on your Facebook page. I'll ask Keith and company to post it again, but it's like Paux Toun. It's a Chinese company. But I will repost the link on my page, and I'll ask Keith and company to repost the link to the Amazon site where you can purchase it.
They're doing it now. They're doing it now on my Facebook page, The Gary Myers Show, and it's on your Facebook page. It's, as far as that goes, seems like the easiest way to get the program.
Yeah, and just to remind your listeners, you do not need a Bluetooth-capable car to use it. You simply plug the transmitter into your headphone jack of your phone. you match the FM station on the transmitter to the FM station in your car, and you can listen to anything that you would have otherwise listened to on your phone.
And you get it on old radios, too, you mentioned last time. Old clock radios and things.
That is the funniest thing I've ever seen is when I was able to tune you in on the clock radio I bought specifically because I was looking for a retro clock radio. I just, you know, I guess I should have known that would work, but it never even dawned on me to use it in the house. And again, that's a way to avoid having to buy a Bluetooth speaker.
Great, Dan. Appreciate the input.
Thanks, Gary. Appreciate it as always.
Dan Fedora. I'd like to get one of those radios that you see in these newsreels where people are sitting around listening to FDR talk about right. going to war and have the show coming over one of those old things.
Oh, that would be cool.
Today is a day that will live in infamy.
Oh, the humanity!
Stuff like that.
A spotted dog with his ear cocked listening to you on
when people
the Dot FM.
Looked at the radio. There's nothing to see, but they just stared at the speaker.
Oh, Rochester.
Yeah.
Yes, sir, Mr. Bendy.
There it is. And that's the kind of stuff you heard.
Kingfish.
All the great racial programs of the day.
Oh, it's a time gone by.
Leslie, how are you?
Shoot.
Everything good?
Well,
I'm just going to keep talking.
So. Yeah.
Let Donald Sterling stew over there.
Oh, Rochester.
Yes, that was on television for a number of years.
Oh yeah!
Oh yeah!
He was his guy. He was his man Friday.
His manservant.
Yeah. And then one,
Rochester, and he had that kind of tonality that you were doing there.
Yes, sir, Mr. Bennett.
That was very subservient.
Oh, well, there's sometimes
kind of like step and fetch it. Mm-hmm.
And then he lived with Jack,
which I don't think was his real name either, was it?
No.
I hope not. But there was some episodes like it was Rochester's day off. So he lived with Jack in the house. And so then the doorbell would ring on his day off.
Who answered it?
And Jack would go, Rochester, get the door. It's my day off, Mr. Benny. Oh, for geez. You know, and then
so
he's like,
Rochester,
right,
on his day off, would just stay at the house?
Yeah, he would sit and like smoke a cigar, and then Jack would have to go answer the door. And he was all pissed off.
Why don't you answer it, you honky?
I mean,
you white devil.
Unbelievable.
Was responding to a text about where to get those fly grips that Dan Fedor has talked about that attach to the back of your phone so it's much easier to hold. Go to his Facebook page, facebook.com, Dan's Gadgets, and he has all that listed there. I'm going to get that fly grip guy on so I can give away more of those in the very near future. Kathy, hello, welcome, 312-521-8600.
Hello, how are you?
Good.
I just want to give Bibble a heads up. He may find it cheaper to pay for his lawn stickers than to face a fine, because there's a fine. 10 years ago, it was $450 to dump in the forest preserve if you're caught.
But I'm not dumping.
I'm throwing
it in the garbage can.
More organic stuff that already falls in the forest.
According to my friend who works for the Forest Preserve Department, that is considered dumping.
Really?
Yes. And 10 years ago, it was a fine of $450. So I'm assuming that it's probably more now.
That's all to save $5 on yard bags. And what are those stickers, $3 a piece?
They're pretty
good. So a total of about $20, he's going to pay $450.
So dumping, if I'm using a garbage can, is considered dumping?
Yes, it's considered dumping because you take it out of your car and empty it into one of their receptacles. And that's considered dumping, according to my friend who works for the Forest Department.
Yeah. So then what are those garbage cans for?
They're for picnics and things that are going on in the Forest Preserve, if you're using
condoms.
The Forest Preserve.
Pretty much all that sex stuff that is going on
you
out there.
You got that, right.
Yeah.
But, you know, it may be cheaper to pay for your sticker in your village.
Well, maybe that's, well, the only thing I do try to do, though.
It's Bibble logic. It doesn't make any sense.
It's just, I mean.
No, it doesn't.
And what I do try to do is I don't throw out any garbage in those Forest Preserve garbage cans that would have my address on it.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, so there's nothing incriminating.
People who have cameras are taking pictures of everything now.
Yeah.
All they have to do is take your license plate number down.
Yeah, I know, because I do, like, look around to see if there's anybody there.
Yeah, well, that's all people are doing in the Forest Preserve at certain times of the day.
Yeah.
They are looking to back in give a wink or a nod, and then they go deeper into the forest.
Well, then I'll just find a dumpster behind a grocery store.
Yeah, well, there, problem solved.
Well, that works. At least you're out of the forest reserve then.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
There's always a dumpster somewhere.
Rochester always had great lines, and he made Jack look silly a lot. Jack Benny Show, not racial.
Oh, no, Jack, Rochester did outsmart Jack a lot, but was still subservient to Jack.
Exactly, and the way he talked, and Rochester, that's kind of a name that was considered subservient back then.
Yeah, I mean, and it wasn't like, I can't remember his name was Eddie Rochester something, but, you know, I mean, he never called him anything but Rot, you know, he didn't call him like Tom, you know, it was like this...
Rochester.
Yeah, this weird name.
But the fact that, well, think about it. If we can put that racial component aside for a second, you've got a show back in the 50s and 60s 40s, where you've got a black character, which I know in all the movies and stuff, they weren't exactly portrayed right. But you got a black character, and you got two men living together,
groundbreaking. It was very weird.
And a racial couple living together.
Well, that's what was so crazy, because he lived with Jack. And yet he worked with him, but that's why I saw this one episode where it was Rochester's day off, and I'm like, how do you delineate between, I mean, you're either there if you're living in the house.
But his day off, he just sat around in the house and smoked cigars.
Yeah, and then Jack was like, hey, the doorbell's ringing, and he's like, okay, Rochester, I'll go get it. You know,
this time.
He was but you could see that Jack was put off because it was Rochester's day off.
And there were rumors about Jack Benny being
I think that
light in the loafers.
Yeah, there was
not that there's anything wrong with it.
Yeah, because he was married to Mary, and they had a child. But I saw this documentary, and Jack would go on summer trips, like road trips, with his friends for extended periods of time
without Mrs.
Mary
Benny.
and the daughter Benny. So. And Jack, you know, he always had dark hair, but when he would go on these trips, because he was kind of an older guy, he always had the dark hair. But when they saw these kind of black and white films, he had this white hair. So I think he just sort of went like all natural, so nobody, because he wasn't wearing his glasses.
That's so, because he was so popular, he didn't want to be bothered.
He didn't want to be bothered
by the public, yeah.
And he did look, and it was always kind of, like you said, a little wink, wink, that he was kind of effeminate, the way he walked. So there was always this little undercurrent that Jack did play on the other team, but it never was. But
no, that never came out like Rock Hudson.
No. And there's one, I saw this one, you know, because Jack wore a little piece. You know, he looked bald, but he wore like a piece that makes it look like he's bald. And on the Johnny Carson show, one of it, somebody grabbed for his piece, and you see Jack lunge at this guy and push him back like, wow. It was almost like Ray Rice. I mean, it was like, whoa, don't touch my hair.
That fake hair. What's the name of the U2 album?
Songs of Innocence.
So the entire album for iTunes subscribers, free.
Yeah, if you have an iTunes account, you can download
until
it right now.
Until 10/13.
Oh, is that what it is?
So it's here on this text.
So the next 4 days.
So when you download it tonight, bring it in.
Yeah.
We'll sample some of it tomorrow.
Yeah, definitely. Well, they say that this is a throwback. They went back to the music that they grew up listening to. So we'll see what the...
What did they grow up with?
Well, in the 70s. I mean, they're like in their mid-50s, so they said they're...
We'll get some Helen Reddy.
So we'll get some...
feel.
It sounds like I just...
Captain and Tennille.
Little Neil Sedaka.
Sure, they grew up with that.
Yeah, no, they said there's a song. I guess they're more of the punkish, and there's some Clash... kind of sounding stuff. One of the first song I guess they played at this event is called "The Miracle" in parentheses, something the miracle of Joey Ramone. So apparently there's kind of a punky and then there's one song about California that has a Beach Boys feel to it. So it sounds like you know
they're gonna tour next year. Is that the plan?
Yeah, that's the plan. They're supposed to tour probably in 2015. Yeah, this was a surprise. They were supposed to. You remember they played at they had that commercial. On the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and they played one of the songs.
Yeah, and you know, it got a lot of downloads. I think for the most part, people were a little underwhelmed. And so then they sort of went back to the drawing board. I think they brought in another producer that has worked with them in the past. And so they weren't supposed to release something until next year, and then all of a sudden there's been rumors, but I don't think anybody expected this to come out today.
Well, I wonder if they wanted to distance themselves from the Spider-Man play when that went down in flame. Although they say the touring company will probably make money. They'll scale it down, and they'll just travel for the next 10 years.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, think about it. I mean, right now, they, for a certain generation, I mean, they are, I guess if you were in your 20s or 30s right now, you'd look at U2 as kind of the old elder statesman, right?
Yeah, because they've been around 30-some years.
Yeah, so, you know, we look like it, the people like the Stones and the Who and stuff like that, but I guess U2 certainly is falling into that category now.
But still command an audience, and you hook up with an Apple, and you can't go wrong.
Well, like you said, they probably threw them a little check for 20 mil. And like Dan said, I mean, they've had so much money in the bank. Apple, they don't even
burning a hole in their pockets.
They don't even know what to do with it. So, you know, hey, you need to peel off some pennies. Let me know.
This is a great invention here. Listen to this. Japanese farmer Mitsuo Shibata has grown a watermelon that would make Sir Mix-a-Lot hungry with desire. The melon is actually two conjoined fruits that together look like a curvaceous derriere.
I like big butts, and I like...
Yeah, looks like a butt. The conjoined watermelons are common enough in Japan that there's a specific...
An undlebar.
PBR. No, that's right. PBJ.
PBL.
PBL.
No, PBL. PB&J is something real.
A specific phrase for them, Futago Suka, which translates as twin watermelons. The reason this is a great invention, you know, when you put the watermelon in the trunk, even if it's in a bag, it starts rolling around, this will just sit there.
Oh, because it's
got, it's a butt.
Now there's...
It's not going anywhere.
Yeah, there's some weight distribution here.
These Japanese, they're working on some crazy stuff, but every now and then they come up with a winner.
But leave it to them to put it in the shape of a sexual
Well, thing. It has to all go back to that, yes. But that's not going to roll around in the trunk.
That's not, and it, my gosh, I could see the picture. It does look quite curvaceous.
Yeah, it's almost,
it looks very Kardashian-like.
Kardashian or J-Lo, not J-Lo, J-Lo Beyonce.
Or Beyonce, yeah, J-Lo. Uh-huh. But J-Lo's got one, too.
That's true.
Yeah, she
or,
created
no, you know, book. No, I'm going to really go hip on you.
Uh-oh.
That fancy girl, Azalea?
Azalea?
Is that her name?
Esmeralda? Who?
Azalea, right?
Is that her name? Azalea? I never even heard
who
that,
of her. Who that?
Who that?
What's her full name?
Iggy Azalea.
Iggy Azalea.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm hip.
Is she one of
my God.
Of the big
when
booty?
I first saw her a few months ago.
Giant booty?
It looks like it's almost inflated before her performance. She gets about 40 PSI in there.
The little bike pump?
Yeah. Because the rest of her body is slim, and then it gets to the buttocks, and it really just flares out. She's from Australia.
Well,
I didn't know they were noted for their...
They usually aren't. I thought they're usually, like, all in shape and, you know.
But this watermelon reminds me of Iggy.
They should put...
Just who dat? Like who dat?
Put a pair of panties on there just to see how they fit.
Ooh, nice.
But it's the same color, right? It's the green.
This is a black and white picture, but it looks like it would be your typical green watermelon.
So like a reptilian. Kind of green, scaly...
I'd like this, and there was a square.
Yeah, the square one
watermelon,
is
which is
cool.
Good too, because that's not going to roll around. I think that was out of Japan also.
Yeah, it was. So this is actually like two.
They mesh two together. This is the greatest thing since the seedless watermelon.
I wonder if it costs more since you're getting two.
I love watermelon. I've said that a lot. Although it's been very hit and miss this season.
Really?
A lot of sour watermelon, it seems. Maybe one out of three or four is any good. I don't know what happened with the crop.
And that's what's... Now, do you buy a full one? Or do you buy like a half?
No, we buy the full one.
So it's hit or miss.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't squish it.
No.
How do you know?
In the old days, they cut out a little piece and sample it.
You mean like with a cheese or with a wine where they put the little...
You don't remember those days?
No.
I remember as a kid, you'd go and... Can we get a, they cut out a triangular piece, and you got to taste it.
The inside.
And if you didn't take, I don't know what happened after that. If you didn't take it, if they just tossed it?
Yeah, because.
What are they going to do with it? I guess 9 times out of 10, people would take it, and it was worth the thing, but they would cut out a little piece.
Well, if they did, though, then they would probably do the half. They would cut
maybe
it in half
it.
And put the, remember, they put the saran wrap over it.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be able to at least see what it
now,
looked
even
like.
Not even seeing it.
Yeah.
And some look good, but that sour milk, it's like a sour milk taste.
Yeah. So do you like it when it's real red, or it's real soggy, or it's a little
I like it when it's
hard?
Sweet. There's a perfect pitch there. It's sweet.
I like it when it's a little harder and pinkish, not red. When it's real red, to me, that's too much.
Right. It's probably overripe.
Yeah, yeah. But that is always a hit or miss. You go when you cut that first cut, you hope it looks good inside. That's why I'm a little anti-watermelon, because, you know, it's hit or miss. Is it expensive?
I bought one, well, it was a small one, probably the size of a softball.
Yeah.
It was $3.99. Mm. It was fairly good, but it's been hit or miss.
Because at least with, like, as I like, what's the green thing? The melon. What's that green melon?
The...
That I like so much.
Cantaloupe?
Yeah, no, that's orange.
The muskmelon?
What's it called now? Isn't this crazy? The green melon.
The green melon. The green one is the...
Honeydew.
Honeydew.
I love honeydew. And that, at least, you can squeeze a little. Or you could tell by the rind on the outside. But a watermelon...
No, it's a crapshoot.
Yeah.
People are texting me about the U2 album, and everybody that's texted says it's
terrible.
Really good.
Oh, it's good?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I mean, that people have already had a chance to either love it or hate it by now, since they released it several hours ago.
They have so much material. Another U2 album, Songs of Experience, may be released as well.
Well, like I said, they made they had like a whole album. They made it with this guy Danger Mouse. That's not the same guy as you're talking, you know, your big head.
Not Dead Mouse.
Not Dead Maws. But, and I think it was a little too hip for the crowd, or it was a little too... You know, kind of un-U2-ish. And so I think they went back to the drawing board then and said, let's get back at some of our old producers and see if we can mesh something. And so I think they came back a little bit more to what people would be. Because their last album was a flop.
Which one was that?
I think it was No Line on the Horizon. It didn't do very well. I think we played that when we were in WGN. You played quite a bit of it, remember?
I did.
The first time where it was like, probably U2 has never played on WGN before.
I didn't play full songs, did I? I just sampled it?
I think you did, yeah.
Because you can't play music on that either. They don't have a license
for
that.
Yeah, but you used
to
play the whole Summer Wind.
Yeah, and I did it. Usually I played a section of it, and then one year I decided on June 1st I'm going to play the whole song.
Yeah.
Of course, the next day.
Did you get dinged?
You can't play the whole song anymore.
Oh.
We're not licensed to play music. I remember a time when artists would kill to hear their music on the radio. License, schmeissens. I know they have to get paid for the composer and everything. Okay, I get it. But now it's all different.
But how could that be true? Because they had a huge musical library here.
Yeah, and when's the last time you heard them playing music?
Well, didn't Carbomb have a radio show? Carbomb had a music radio
show. That's right.
So I got
maybe
news
they...
For-
I don't know what they did with that.
I don't think they wanted you to play that song. That should have been your first hint.
Yeah, that's right. Carbomb did a music show.
Yeah.
Carbomb was with the Blackhawks.
Daniel Carcello. Yeah, he had a music show. So, I don't know.
All right.
I think they were giving you a line.
The hi-hat? No. By the way, yesterday, and this is on my Facebook page, the picture of me as the first person on the Pete McMurray hideaway couch bed.
Right.
So I posted that picture. So today I walk in, and his door is locked. And now he never, that I recall, locks his door.
Since those offices opened up in the last couple of months, that door has always been open.
Never locked. So I made a note as soon as I got in. Hey, Pete, how am I going to lie in your hideaway bed if you lock the door, buddy? I thought we were all one big happy family.
Oh, funny.
Why can Brandmeier, what's that, Aaron?
But I'm sorry, she's not up.
Facebook. Say again on the air, please.
Okay. The photo on Facebook has 89 likes.
89 likes.
89.
Whatever that means.
How is that trending?
Why can Brandmeier play full-length songs?
Oh, does he play songs?
I have heard him play.
Does he play
songs.
His songs or
no,
others?
No. No, not his. Other songs.
Oh, really?
Well, again, he does this deal where he comes in. He comes in so early, there's no management here. And at 9:01, he just drops through the floor and they never see him.
He's got the trap door.
Right. You think he answers or responds to their email or responds to anything they say? No. I got to do more of that. I'm here too much. They have access to me. That's the problem. Hey, can we see you for a minute? See, that day when they didn't tell me that I was moving to the dot,
right.
But then they did move
right.
me to the dot the next
right.
day.
Right, right.
I came up to drop off my stuff in my office, and the boss was standing by the door.
Right.
Can I talk to you for a minute? And that tone, I know it. I've heard it a million times. See, with a Brandmeier, he goes right from the studio. The elevator is 50
right
feet away,
yeah.
And it doesn't go anywhere near the offices.
Yeah.
So they have no access to this guy.
For all you know, he was fired 6 months ago.
Sure.
He's still just coming in.
They don't know what to do. They can't get a hold of him.
He comes in. He knows the right button to hit.
Free form, baby.
Now that's pirate radio.
So it's that whole being around that gets you in trouble.
Don't make eye contact. Whatever you do, don't ever make eye contact.
Yeah, well, he is playing whole songs once in a while.
Really?
Yeah,
maybe
I did hear.
Maybe he paid the $266.
Yeah, maybe he just wrote a check. What is it?
$288, I think.
$288, there you go.
$288,
yeah.
So how about my idea for a Gary Meyer jukebox where listeners pay $5 and you play two of their songs throughout the afternoon and eventually it'll pay for itself.
Okay.
Money in the jar.
Money in the jar for my own Christmas party.
Right.
Hell, just got to take care of myself now.
How bad do you want to hear that song?
I think the watermelon hybrids have gone for sturdy rinds instead of flavor. Are you a watermelon fan, Leslie?
I like watermelon.
Have you had much this summer?
Not
because it hasn't
much.
Been as good as past years.
I'm hooked on the little bitty ones because that's all we can handle in our house anymore. The big ones go to waste.
Yeah.
And there's nothing worse than watching it just turn to milk in the
right.
fridge. But those little mini
right.
ones are pretty
that's the
awesome.
One we got the other day. But you're right because my wife will cut them into squares, put them in some bowls or the
right.
refrigerator. And if I don't eat them within a couple of days, it starts to go to. And then she'll go, why did I buy the big one? You
right.
said you wanted watermelon. But I can't have it close to bedtime because then I just,
oh.
every hour and a half,
you
I'm
make watermelon?
Making water.
The first word of the name.
Yeah. So you got to have it earlier in the day.
So a watermelon, do you leave it out or do you put it in the refrigerator?
Well, I like it cold.
Oh, okay, yeah. Because it's not in a refrigerator at the store.
No, you don't have to refrigerate it. But if you like it cold, which is the whole thing about watermelon on a hot day and all that.
Because like when I grew up, every fruit just went into the refrigerator.
Yeah.
It just seemed like my parents just put every, not except bananas, but aside from bananas, every fruit just went in the refrigerator. And then you start reading more, especially now, and then you realize.
That doesn't prolong their life.
And when you go to the store, no fruit is in the refrigerator.
No.
It's all sitting out. Grapes.
Yeah, do you want room temperature apples when you could have a nice, cool, chilled one? I put all my fruit
oh,
in the
really?
Fridge right away. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm looking at my grapes, and a lot of times it seems like the grapes get wet. They, like, start to sweat. And I'm wondering if it's because I'm putting them in the refrigerator, if I kept them out.
All right, what's the decision on butter? Because you want it to be soft when you have your toast.
Right.
How long can you leave butter out?
This is a bone of contention in our house. My husband thinks it should be out a lot longer than I do. I freak right away. The word rancid, I mean, rancid just means that it's separating.
Right.
So when butter's rancid, it doesn't mean that you can't eat it anymore. Right. But in my world, once I hear rancid, it's like, nope, throw it away.
Once it's in the refrigerator and then you have toast, so you're spreading the hard butter and it's making a hole in your toast. So you got to put the butter
in the microwave.
But then if you don't get it right, it's all puddled.
There's no setting. What setting do you put?
For
because
butter.
How about the hole that happens? The stick actually gets a hole. If you put it in for like 30 seconds, there's a hole. that happens in the middle, and then it becomes that puddle. Then you pour the butter on your toast,
yeah,
which is the worst.
Okay, so in your family, when you had corn on the cob, were you allowed to roll the corn on the
butter? I did that
for
years as a kid. I thought that's the way it was supposed to be done until I was in polite company.
Well, my neighbors,
and they looked at me like I was some kind of savage.
My neighbors did it, and that was one of those things. When I grow up, I'm going to have butter that I can just throw corn on and roll it around on top.
Well, they used to even have those little
dishes
that were kind of sloped.
The swirly.
And you would just twirl it.
Yeah, but I found out that that's not the way educated people do it.
Look at how he eats his corn.
Whose house were you at when they looked at you like...
And she still
cut a pad off. Oh, there you go. Cut a pad off. But I have a tendency to do that with everything. It'll dip in the middle of the table, not put it on my plate. So I got to watch that.
So, because with the mirai that we had, I
like to swirl and salt that up.
Well, first I take the square and I rub it on, mm-hmm. and then I take whatever's left and put it underneath.
Right,
and then roll it.
So you can keep rolling.
Oh, yeah. You got to roll it. You got it. We have one left. I got one cob left.
Really?
Yeah. But now, that stuff, what do you do with that? You put it in the refrigerator or you keep it out?
They, even on the packaging, it says refrigerate that.
Okay, good, because that's where mine is.
All right, just one cob you're going to light up?
We got this all left.
Split it with your wife?
Yeah, we usually, I don't know.
He'll find a day when she misbehaves and he's not feeding her.
Right, and then I'll throw the empty cob in the forest preserve.
Because it... Now, here's what I was thinking the other day, because a couple of kernels were underneath the kitchen table. They must have a few strays. How many kernels do you think is... I was thinking this the other day. How many kernels do you think are on a cob of corn?
Oh, it's got to be a couple hundred.
You think so? Isn't that...
Because I'm just
three.
Visualizing.
One,
two, and three.
I'm thinking if you just mentally think of a corn cob,
right.
And there's got to be 15, 20
I
going down.
I think there's a
thousand. That could be a good radio promo. We're going to have a bag of corn.
Right.
Guess how many kernels are on
these. Guess the kernels. I mean, think about how many rows there are.
And win tickets to Volo Auto Museum.
Or the Mendota Corn Festival. No, but, I mean, think about it. There's got to be at least 500, right?
Several hundred. I don't know how many hundreds.
I mean, obviously, you know.
Can I ask why it matters?
I was just, because when I was thinking, well, I don't want to get into the real reason, because I noticed afterwards.
Uh-oh.
You know, the corn was in a certain spot.
hit the delay. I don't have one?
And so
I got to get one.
I was sitting there going, how many kernels did I eat?
Okay. Aaron, what did you say? The security force is up on the seventh floor, ready to go?
800 kernels.
How many?
800.
800
average?
Almost 1,000.
Yeah,
a
lot.
Kernels. So, because I felt bad, too, because there was like a few on the floor. And I was, so when I saw these strays.
Jeez, how do you eat this stuff?
You bite them and you fly off?
No.
No?
No, they don't.
Fly off?
Don't they fly off?
No. How would they fly?
My sister has a way of eating corn on the cob so that there is nothing left of the kernel on the cob.
They're all
gone.
It
is so perfectly cleaned out. I don't know how she does. Maybe she has super sharp teeth or something. But she's just able to get it. And the cob looks beautiful when
she's like a woodchuck going through that thing.
And you really can't take one bite. Don't you always go, like you take
two or... Oh, you start going up and down.
That's what
and
I mean. You take like two or three.
An old typewriter.
Yeah, like two or three quickies and then one big long one.
Okay.